Welcome back to the show. 5 minutes after the hour. It's our second and final hour, and we're off for a few days. We'll be out tomorrow for Thanksgiving, and we're also taking Friday off as well. So you guys, be safe, be good to each other, whatever that looks like. And, you know, just try to make, like, logical decisions. That's all I ask anymore. What is a logical decision? Don't put steel metal poles in the ground and freak everybody out and think that they're aliens, Colfax. That's a logical decision. Or maybe it's cool. I don't know yet. Yeah, that's how we started the show today. The alien talk. Rockies made a big move, Colfax. You ready, man? You ready for this? The Rockies acquire right-handed pitcher Robert Stevenson and outfielder James Hanna from the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for right-handed pitcher Jeff Hoffman and right-hander Case Williams. So, there you go. Stevenson's 27. He made 10 relief appearances with the Reds in 2020. He had no record. He didn't post a record. He had a 9.9 ERA, 3 walks, and 13 strikeouts. He made 57 relief appearances in 19 and went 3-2 with a 3.7 ERA. So, 9.9 ERA. Hanna, 23, did not appear in a game in 2020. He was acquired by the Reds from the A's on July 31st, 2019, in exchange for right-handed pitcher Tanner Roark. So, that's fine. Okay, cool, making moves. Hoffman's basically the same pitcher as Stevenson, so Hoffman's 27. He went 2-1. He had a 9.28 ERA. Stevenson's a little bit worse. So there you go. There's your move. There's your move, Rocks. Hope you're happy with that. Let's go. Let's get it going, folks. People are in a really tough spot with the Colorado Rockies. When you look at the state of teams in Colorado, as far as the Big Four, you know, the Broncos can struggle mightily, and the fan base is still there. Hell, there's radio stations in Denver, you guys know, that devote most of their time talking about the Broncos. It's not going away. The Rockies don't have that following. The Rockies can't afford it. They haven't been good. They haven't earned it. So this whole Nolan Arenado thing, I'm not surprised. I don't think you're a bandwagoner if you're so frustrated with this team. Because when does a team move beyond just the logo? When does it move beyond that? When do you stop saying, well, Broncos, I bleed orange and blue? You know, when does that stop? Well, it stops when ownership continues to do the same things that break your heart over and over again. When you see zero growth over time after time after time. And, like, I know Browns fans, God love you, because you are dedicated. Cleveland Browns fans, they always show up no matter what. But when does a Rockies organization, when do they lose you? When will the Broncos lose you? Broncos probably, I don't want to say never, but it's the NFL, so that's the most popular sport in this country. So you have that going for you. The Broncos have had success. I mean, 3 championships. It's nothing to sneeze at. 1 recently. You've had Hall of Famers. You've been to the playoffs. You're a fixture in the playoffs. If you take the collective years for the Broncos, they're in the playoffs. The Nuggets, yeah, it's basketball. Not as popular as the NFL, but their fan base is growing. I'd say the Rockies were number 2, though. And the Avs are, I don't know about in the state anymore, I'm not sure, but the Avs, again, the NHL is 4th on that Big Four list. But the Rockies, I mean, yeah, a big move like trading a beloved player that's going to go down in history as the best in his position would be maybe a deal breaker for some. I don't look at you and say, that's a bandwagon fan right there. No, you get frustrated with it. When a team's owner, when you don't like the owner, okay, what was the other thing the Broncos had going for him for so many years, Colfax? Pat Bowlen. I mean, everybody loved Pat Bowlen. Even when the Broncos struggled, you didn't hear a lot of, get the owner out of there. Did you ever hear that? I didn't in my time. You know, Broncos went through some tough years. T- tough year when I was growing up watching this team. I mean, I was what, 10 when they won their first Super Bowl? Something like that. Yeah, probably 10, 11 maybe. Since then, I mean, hell, and again, my fandom started, I was a Broncos fan from birth, but when I actually started understanding what I was watching, you know, you're in that 10 range. So, yeah, I was spoiled early on. You know, the Broncos, Broncos went to the playoffs. That first year, they had their uniform change, right? Or they get knocked out by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then they do the uniform change, and they go on and win the Super Bowl. And then even in my life, the last 24 years since they won the Super Bowl, right, they've been pretty good. You know, they go to the playoffs, and they're not down for long. So the Broncos have earned that. Yeah, they're not on a good trajectory right now, but they've built up enough of a base over the years. They've done enough things right over the years that it's going to take a hell of a lot for a fan base to actually turn their back on them. And I'm saying stop watching. That's what I'm saying. Like, what makes you stop watching this team and stop caring about this team? And the Rockies don't have a lot of things going for them right now. A franchise that's only been to the playoffs, what, five times? Is that right? It's five or six. I don't have it right in front of me. It's five or six. Since you've been in Denver since 93, 94. So, since 93, you've been to the playoffs five times. Your own owner said at one point, yeah, it's reasonable to say we could be in to root for us to be in the playoffs two out of 5 years. Two out of every 5 years. It's just different. It's a different mentality. You know, when I would go down to the Pepsi Center, or what is it now? What is it called now? Ball Arena? The Ball Arena? When I would go down there in simpler times, you felt that bigger things, they were building up to bigger things. And that does, you know, that's ownership, but it's also getting the right manager in charge. And this just kind of goes to show you, here in Colorado, it's living proof, man. A bad general manager will cost you fans, will cost you a fan base. Not just players, not just great players, but, you know, really cripple an organization. And we know that Dick Monfort's going to be loyal. He's going to give Jeff Breidich every chance before he, I mean, he's going to milk that situation, that position dry. He's going to give Breidich every opportunity to screw up. He did it with O'Dowd. And I get it. It's a task, man. I mean, pitching in Colorado seems to be a big challenge, and that's what the name of the game is when it comes to baseball. But you look around, and just obvious things, man. I mean, he's just not doing the obvious things right. How do you let it go south so soon? You signed this great contract with Nolan. You're so excited about it to see what's going to happen. And pretty much after year one, you're at odds. You had that out, which we didn't really even think. We thought that was more of a formality, didn't we? That if both organizations were unsatisfied with the situation, they were going to move on. After 3 years, they had the out, and we thought, well, maybe they'll do enough to build around this team. Well, they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to build around this team. And that's, I think, where the frustration lies, especially for Nolan. Listen, it's not all in the Rockies. I mean, Nolan wasn't great last year either. He's got to get better. He's got to be better. He knows that. But it's kind of like this, Colfax. You know how I'm always talking about how good the Broncos defense is? But after the third, you know, midway through the third quarter, and you see another three and out or a bad turnover, defense goes back out on, they're dejected. It's a mental thing now, staying involved, knowing that, man, you're playing lights out, but this offense ultimately is not going to get you there. You got to wonder, too, if Nolan was fatigued last year with that. No matter what this team does, no matter what one player does, you don't have the right pitching staff. You don't have enough hitters. You don't have the best outfielders. I mean, no matter what you do, you're going against the wind, man. I mean, that's what it feels like. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. So that's our Power to Play Sports poll question. Would that hurt your fandom? Would that make you less of a Rockies fan if they trade Nolan Arenado? And a good majority of the whole game. So, yeah, we got 63% now saying yes, 36% saying no. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Again, the big story of the day, Colfax, was UNC pausing all activities. Men's basketball side, I should be clear. UNC men's basketball pausing all activities. So no games this weekend. More than likely, no games next weekend, but we will see. That is not official. So we'll see there. Broncos, Saints. Can Denver keep it going? John Elway's out of the COVID lockdown now. He's feeling better. He's talking to the media a lot more the last couple of days. Talked a lot about Drew Locke and how he's kind of happy with his progress so far. Have we been too critical on this offense? Are we too critical this year, knowing that you have all the injuries in the world that hit you? I mean, Cortland Sutton's a big hit. The right tackle, you've been hit there. A guy opts out, you get injuries, another injury. I mean, you were dealing with your fourth or fifth string right tackle for at least a couple of games. Have we been too critical of Drew Locke, or do you expect just better? Do you expect better because, you know, your line's improving? You are expecting Jerry Jeudy to be a standout this year? Well, you draft a guy, the top 10, or what was it? Where did the Broncos draft him at? You draft a guy in the first round, mid-first round. I mean, most of the time when you draft a guy in the first round, especially top 15, you're expecting him to do big things. And as soon as his rookie year. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you expected big things from Bradley Chubb, and he delivered in his rookie year. So I think there's times we can be critical. Here's where I'm the most critical. I'm critical of Drew Locke because I see things that I just go, wow, that was a bad throw. That was a bad decision. You know, why is he running out of, you know, taking off out of the pocket before the play even develops? That's where we see it. So there are legitimate things that we look at the Broncos and go, injury or not, those are mistakes you can't be making. Drew can't. Well, I don't care if Cortland Sutton's there and you have your right tackle situation done with. I mean, your good offense, whatever. He's still making bad decisions overall, and that's where I think people get frustrated. Pat Shurmur has not helped. I mean, you can tell us that this is a young offense, okay, but the decision making is bad. Except for last week, we finally saw the Broncos orchestrate a good game offensively. So, yes and no, I guess. Maybe we are too critical on this team. We do need to remember that it's, even though he's in his 60s, this is his second year as a head coach. That was my problem, though. And I'm not an ageist. But it is strange when you hire a guy that's never been a head coach and he's at the age of 60 to say, we're going to grow with this guy. Because you got to wonder, how long is he going to be a head coach in the league? 18 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break, Colfax. Do want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well. Plan ahead. Give Scott Robin, our member of their great staff, a call today. Talk to him about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. Their number is 970-330-6824. We're live from the Auto Collision Special Studios. When we come back, more Broncos Saints. I mean, this is a huge game with or without Drew Brees, folks. Taysom Hill is going to be interesting. The Broncos have this chance to pull themselves within, you know, a game of the playoff race. Is it realistic? Do you have any realistic hope that they can beat the 8-2 New Orleans Saints at home? We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hull. Check out The Hull Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for being with us here. Do want to thank CRP 4x4. Go to their website, crp4x4.com. And there you'll find me. You can stop by or you can also browse the website today and see what they got. Steps and running boards, toolboxes, fuel tanks, lift kits, leveling kits, chrome trim, lighting products. Basically, if you need it, they got it. If you want it, they got it. If you want to make your vehicle really pop, then check out crp4x4.com. NFL.com. Well, the New Orleans Saints are good. You know, with or without Drew Brees, this is a good football team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They are third in the NFL in yards per game. And, I mean, they're amazing at getting after the quarterback. I mean, this is just one of those teams you got to be careful with, man. They're awesome. And you can't screw up. You can't have fumbles that are going to ultimately lead to a touchdown. You have to play perfect football if you want to have a shot at beating this team. Trey Hendrickson has 9.5 sacks. This team collectively has 32 sacks. They get after the quarterback. It is going to be a very long day for this Broncos offensive line. A line that seems to be getting better. I mean, Garrett Bowles is one of the biggest stories in the NFL. Does the comeback player of the year, does that award only go to guys that come back from an injury? Because, I mean, again, Alex Smith's going to get that. But Garrett Bowles, talk about a comeback. Sports Illustrated did a story on him just about how he stayed committed, and he kind of had an epiphany of how to be a better left tackle. Just don't hold, man. You're a gifted athlete. You really are. But they're going to have their work cut out for him against this ridiculous defense. I mean, they're good against the pass. They're great against the run. I mean, their Broncos defense is better than the Saints as far as against the pass, but running the ball against them is going to be tough. So what do you do if you're Pat Shurmur now? Now you have every excuse not to run the ball. They only give up 74 yards per game on the ground. The Bucs are the only team better. They allow 22 points per game. It's up there in the top five. So, yeah, do you stay committed to that run? I'm very curious to see. You know, you saw what you could do when you run the ball well. It opens up this entire offense. It gives Drew Lock more confidence. Gives your defense a chance to take a break. But do you attempt it? I mean, are we going to see another 17 carry game by Gordon, 16 carry game by Lindsey? Or are we going to revert back to our old ways because you're scared of what the Saints are going to do? I say you go down swinging and you got to run the ball. You got to find a way to do it and at least keep them guessing because the Saints are that good. But we've already seen it, at least for this real full test year for Drew Lock, is he ain't going to beat you alone. You know, he's got to have a solid rushing attack to get there. First Advantage text line 31996-31996. Got to find a way to do it. Stay committed to it. It worked last week, and I know the Saints are a completely different beast than Miami. Miami's kind of that bend but don't break defense. The Saints are, they don't bend much, they don't break much. That's what happens when you're top five defense in the league. They're top five in sacks. They get after it, man. They have an aggressive defensive line. And, yeah, this will be a huge test. That offensive line, that was one of their better games last week. I mean, Cushenberry was sensational. I mean, that rookie center. Here's the positive stuff for your line is you're young there. You know, Dalton Reisner's in his second year. Cushenberry's a rookie center, so that left guard and center position, you should be solid there for several years to come. And if Garrett Bowles can truly keep this up and then you do re-sign him, your left side is set. And Juwan James, I mean, your right tackle, he'll be back next year. Not sure what that contract's going to look like, if there's any adjustments on that. And then your right guard, Graham Glasgow. Man, it's amazing what happens when your left tackle plays well. It kind of completes the line. It's crazy how the most important position on the line, if that plays well, it makes you better overall. So, I mean, those are some positives you can take right now. That offensive line should be pretty good, which has been probably the biggest weakness for Denver since the Super Bowl. But either way, you know, when you look at this offense too, I mean, the Saints, again, They're pretty good on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, again, is where they're just so tough. But they're top 10, top 15 team as far as yards per game. But they're passing, you know, they have a great passing attack or a solid passing attack. Pretty good running attack. So it's just a solid football team. This is going to be your big test. You know, I had this as a loss. Does that change Now that Drew Brees is gone or out for this one, does that change? Oof. It's really tough to say. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks, all right, Taysom Hill, second game. This might be the kind of game you want to play a quarterback like Taysom Hill. You know, he kind of blew everybody away last week. I mean, he didn't have a monster game, but he was good, and he's extremely fun to watch. Is this that kind of game where you think maybe the Broncos at home, and you know you're not going with Brees? I mean, maybe you're in that position where you could pull off a major upset. Again, it's one of those deals that's going to be so ridiculously difficult to try to get past that defense when you have an offense really that's not very good. So you're going against arguably the best defense in the league, and Broncos offense, even last week, you know, you put up 20, should have put up 27. Some major concerns there. Will it be enough to overcome, or are we starting to see this offense turn the corner? I'll be curious to see how Pat Shurmur wants to do this thing. You saw that you can run, so now can you run against a great team? This will be huge for guys like Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. 30 minutes after the hour, Colfax, let's jump out of here real fast and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, Colfax, the hits keep coming. Breaking news on this Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday? I don't know anymore. The Air Force Colorado State game has been canceled, according to Zach Barnett of Football Scoop. Football Scoop was also the one that first gathered the information on the CSU game a couple of weeks ago, the cancellation last week, I should say last week. And then they came back and said, oh, wait a second, it's not. We're still trying to confirm that, but I would imagine it's true. It makes sense. But that's what we know at this point. Another canceled game at this situation. Trackers say they're going through their trackers of canceled games at this point. Man, that's got to be something. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. So at least at this point, that's what we know. The game was canceled, 24 hours before kickoff. There goes another Thanksgiving game. Well, we got the other news, Colfax, that the Baltimore-Pittsburgh NFL game has been moved to Sunday. I don't get that one. Thursday. What is the difference between Thursday and Sunday?
Thursday starts with a T.
Ah.
Sunday starts with an S.
Mm. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
You're off for, you know, we're told that UNC is out for several days, 7 to 10 days, if you're going to do it. CSU paused activities for, 14 days? Yet the NFL is pausing for, I guess, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for 3 days. But they'll be able to play Sunday. So why it didn't make sense from the Broncos-Patriots situation? Doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if you're gonna move a game, why not just move it to the next week? I mean, again, that's what we saw with the Broncos, and it was frustrating. They just had to absorb a bye week in there. Boy. So this is where we are. Friday, we hear CSU men's basketball paused activities. They were supposed to start their season tonight. Today we hear the UNC Bears men's basketball team has a contact tracing situation going on. So they were supposed to play Friday. You could have heard that game right here on 1310 KFKA. So that's not happening. And moments ago, we hear that the Air Force Colorado State game has been canceled. Tough spot, man. This is where we are, you know, this day and age. We were just talking. We knew it was going to happen, but my goodness. I was looking forward to that one, too. That would have been noon tomorrow. So, yeah. I guess we got to be prepared for it. So CSU did not play their New Mexico game so far. They did not play their UNLV game, which was last week, and it looks like they're not going to play the Air Force game, which is a rivalry game. Will they try to make that one up? We were told at the beginning of the season, at least for the Mountain West, that if they had to cancel a game, that's what it was. It was canceled. There would be no postponing. There would be no makeups. I mean, that's the one to make up, though. To hell with the UNLV New Mexico game. You'd want to make up the Air Force game. So we're gonna go a while here. So what does that mean? Do we see CSU looking for another opponent again? Are we gonna have that whole thing? I mean, they're scheduled to play tomorrow. Would suddenly the schedule change for them and they play Saturday? I don't know. Up is down now. I have no clue. So they have two games left. They've played three. They have two left. They play San Diego. They're at San Diego State next week. And then they're home against Utah State. That's the final game on December 12th. Will we get to those? I guess the Rams got three in. Whew. Rough spot. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. These college games, man, I mean, it's really hard to follow this year because there's so many different cancellations. I mean, look at this. Tulsa, Houston, postponed. Minnesota, Wisconsin, canceled. Cincinnati, Temple, canceled. ISU, Texas, is still going. You just look across this list. I'm looking at my list right here. Game after game after game, canceled. Alabama, Nick Saban tested positive for COVID. And those of you thought he didn't actually test for it last time. They shut down because I think it was contact tracing or whatever with Saban last time around. I don't think he actually had it, unless that's news. You can get it twice in 4 weeks. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Well, we believe there's still a Broncos game coming up between the Saints, getting ready to go. Our Power to Play sports poll questions generating a lot of feedback as well. If the Rockies were to trade Nolan Arenado, would that affect your fandom of the Rockies? Lane says yes and no. We all know what to expect. Dude could be the best of all time to play third base, not just in franchise, but ever. If the Rockies don't either start putting more of a team around him together, he's going to leave on his own and we get nothing in return. Or they continue to be the Rockies and we trade him and get something in return. Well, that's the thing. Right now, he's opting out when that hits. So you know that. Can Jeff Breidich remedy the situation? Because that's the thing. Like, there's no really debate right now. So those of you that are saying, no, don't trade Nolan, if they don't make this right, he's gone. He's going to leave. He's going to opt out, and you will get nothing because there's 3 years. So when he opts out, you are going to be left empty-handed. And this whole team's going to be in rebuild mode. I mean, this trade rumor, by the way, is catching. I mean, there's a lot. There's legitimate news sources that are covering the what if deal. So you leave after the 2021 season, so you got one more season left. What does that look like? We said it. They need to make the playoffs this year to show Nolan that they want to be a serious contender, that they want to be a team that could build around him. Man, it feels like we just got this deal done. It's a tough situation. He signed an 8-year deal, $260 million contract extension in February of 2 years ago. And it was happy days, man. You remember when they're lined up, they're out there at Coors Field and players are there. Nolan's getting emotional. Said he was emotional looking out at his teammates. And there we are. We're at this stage right now where at this stage, you have to trade him. So, I mean, Rockies fans, you have to get that through your head. The damage has already been done. This is why Rockies fans are pissed. Breidich needs to make it right. Why are the two not sitting down having a conversation? And if Breidich treats Nolan any way, the same way he does the media, then you can see why they're not having a conversation. The man compared himself to a brain surgeon. Being a general manager in baseball is like being a brain surgeon. Wow. Think highly of yourself. Being a radio show host is basically like flying a jet or working on a jet. You know, working on those is brain surgery, rocket science, all that stuff. That's part of the frustration, ultimately. Do the Broncos have a shot? Defensively, I just think they're going to have such a hard time. Offensively, I think they're going to have such a hard time. I don't really see how it's realistic. Saints are heavy, heavy favorites in this game. So, I mean, the Drew Brees thing. Drew's amazing, but this team is setting themselves up where, you know, they can win with Taysom Hill. Probably could win with Jameis Winston, which I know that's been a weird subject. I'm curious, like, what that's like in New Orleans radio talk right now, sports radio, what that conversation is like. Because I think most people just thought this was going to happen, that it was going to be Jameis Winston. They go with Taysom Hill, and they get a win out of the deal. That's the one thing they have going for them. Actually, the Saints right now are just six point favorites. But that's, you know, they're on the road with a backup quarterback who was actually listed as your third string quarterback a while ago. We're seeing that Graham Glasgow is questionable for the game on Sunday. Trey Marshall's questionable. Joe Jones. Bryce Callahan didn't practice today, but I believe it was a Veterans Day off kind of deal. Give the vet some time. I think they do that a lot, so I'm not really worried about that one. First Advantage text line 31996. It's going to be a challenge to run the ball against this team, but when you see what they did against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are 6-4. You know, it's not like the Broncos beat a bad team. The Dolphins were on a 5-game winning streak. And the talk was how great Tua was playing. You know, maybe not overwhelming numbers, but he was playing smart football. So beating the Dolphins is not just like this. I mean, it was a shock. They were underdogs at home to the Dolphins. So, yeah, it was an upset win for Denver. So we could take that and say, all right, you got to try to copy what you did in that game. Saints are one of the best defenses in the league, but the reason you have Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay both, it is a nice 1-2 combo, and you have to be able to get those guys going. 45 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I'll give you I'm just going to do it quickly, Colfax. I'll give you my Thursday night special for tomorrow. I only got two games to pick now. I was even going to throw the CSU Air Force game in there, but I can tell you that that's canceled. There's one of them. Already 1-0 on that. That game is canceled, I predict. We'll get to that. We'll give you my final prediction for Saints-Broncos. Some more thoughts on the Nuggets as we wrap up this week's show already on a Wednesday. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance. Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for The Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Man, what did we learn? What did we learn today, Colfax? We started the show. With the news that UNC men's basketball is a no go, and now we hear CSU Air Force football is a no go for tomorrow afternoon as well, and it's confirmed through our trusted CSU reporters that we're following on Twitter. I saw Justin Michaels of DNVR. Rams tweeted out, his sources confirmed that as well. There we go. The Rams will be lucky to get, well, they got three games in, two left now, unless they do reschedule. So I'm saying they're going to be lucky to get four in. They're going to be lucky to get one more the way this is going. Short football season, man. I'm surprised with the NFL. We've found a way to make it through. I guess just harder with kids on campus. I'm not quite sure. Well, now it's tracing, and that's what's difficult. The tracing, the contact tracing. So if you, it's like that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Is that what it is? So if you know Kevin Bacon, you have COVID. And everyone knows Kevin Bacon through somebody. Apparently, that is the thing. That is what COVID has become. That is the world that we're in now. Frustrating or not, we also started weird news on a Wednesday as well. Like, this is big. The reason I say this, Colfax, again, we're a sports show, but the reason I bring this up, it's big news for the state of Colorado. When the mayor of the biggest city, the capital of your state, says, don't travel for Thanksgiving. Don't go anywhere. Stay home. Be safe unless absolutely necessary. Tweets that 30 minutes before getting his on a plane and traveling to see his daughter. There's really only one excuse that'll work, Colfax. And I think you know what that is. Like, health. If she's in a very... I hope that's not the case at all. I'm sure he'll have to explain himself. But listen, the reason I started the show with that is we are a Northern Colorado radio station. We are a Colorado radio station. I mean, we talk sports all day, but this, folks, this is big news. This is very big news. And if you don't think that... I don't care if you're a liberal, if you're a conservative, if you're middle of the road, if you care about whatever. I don't care. This is not good. When you're elected officials... And I think it's something we need to open up our microphones on. You do need to say, hey, if your elected officials are telling you one thing and they're doing the opposite, you have to hold them accountable. I do not talk politics. This is not political. You have someone in charge telling you not to do something, and they're going out and doing it. I hope all of you listening right now, whether he's your mayor or not, you take this seriously, because that is a scary thing. It really is. All right, that's pay attention to the news, follow it. Don't trust everything you read. Find different sources. And Colfax, I think Mornings with Gail Fallon said this best. If the source that you like, if you're politically aligned as a Republican and you watch Fox News and you go to CNN and they confirm something that you saw on Fox, there's a good chance it's all true, right? Vice versa. If you're a liberal and you watch CNN and you cross over and see that the same story is reported on Fox, there's a darn good chance it's true. Well, you're seeing liberal and conservative media reporting about this whole Mayor Hancock situation. So it's weird. Yeah, but we have other things to discuss. Broncos, Saints, this weekend. Well, let me give you my Thursday night special quickly. For tomorrow, Colfax. I was prepared. I was ready to go. I was ready to give you guys three games, three locks, three ready to go. But instead, I'll go 2-0 tomorrow. I'm not worried about it. I like the Texans to pull off the upset tomorrow against Detroit. The Texans are 3-point dogs. I like the Cowboys to win at home. The Cowboys are 3-point favorites. So I like the Cowboys to win at home. As for Broncos Saints, I had this as a loss. If Drew Brees was playing in this game, I would stick with it. Last week I gave you a caveat. I picked the Broncos to lose, but I said if they run the ball 15 times, at least with Philip Lindsay, I think they'll win. That means the game's going and they're doing what they were supposed to do. The Broncos, I think, Colfax, find a way to stop this whole Taysom Hill experiment. Defensively, they're going to come out ripping and roaring, even though it is a pretty good offense. I think the Broncos will find a... I'm calling it major upset alert. Major upset alert. I think the Broncos beat the Saints. I have thought about this all week. I've gone back and forth all week. I'm forced to make my decision on a Wednesday, which maybe is why I'm picking the Broncos. If this was Friday, maybe I change my tune. But I'm saying today that the Denver Broncos are going to pull off the upset against the New Orleans Saints, and they're going to get their fifth win of the season. And when we come back Monday, we are actually talking about a Broncos playoff run that we predicted at the beginning of the season. I do think that this team pulls off the major upset against the Taysom Hill New Orleans Saints. There you go. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hooligans, we love you. We appreciate all of your listenership and support over the years. Thanks for being with us. Good night, Northern Colorado.